Michael J. Nelson here, along with Connor Listoka. Hello, Connor.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
This is, of course, a special edition of 372 pages we'll never get back. Never gut back. The German. That's how it is pronounced in Germany.
I'm not sure that we're big in Germany. I have no idea whether we're
huge there.
Taking
huge.
The Hasselhoff route.
Oh, if there was a country that we would be big in, what would it be?
Oh, man.
I don't see, like, Somalia or
Guyana. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It would be, they demand our presence. That's where our next live show will be.
Someone was new to our apartment. We were showing them around, and they found a book of mine that was translated into Japanese.
Huh.
It was Movie Mega Cheese, which is just a, you know, collection of my essays about bad movies. And the most unlikely, why did the Japanese, you know, very specific pop culture references and gags and, you know, my shtick, and the Japanese wanted it for themselves.
So is this book conspicuously, like, on a coffee table, or, like, how much were they rooting around your apartment to discover the Japanese translation of, yeah, I guess they did translate my book.
It has a, it has a distinctive cover because it is Japanese, so.
I have two friends, both of them went to high school.
That's the total. Yeah.
During sophomore year, I think, of college, one of them, we'll call him Derek, he had take a class that, like, involved, like, writing a 50-page paper, for, like, a pre-law class or something like that. And my other friend, we'll call him Danny, he had this theory that Derek had gotten it printed at Kinko's and then would leave it on the passenger seat of his car so that when someone got in to, like, drive to, you know, get lunch, they'd be like, what's this? And he would get to say, like, oh, that's my, 50 page paper. And, like, as if that would impress someone. And then, and so Danny, you know, told me this theory, and I was like, well, that's, you know, that's funny. Later, like, years later, after college, they were back at his place after bars at Danny's place, and there was an argument, and dirty laundry started to get aired, and that was one of the things Danny brought up.
And
you left the book paper on the thing, so that, and it was completely news to Derek that anyone would possibly think this insane theory. And Danny was like, I've talked to Connor about this. And so when Derek told me about the fight, I had to be like, don't know what he's talking about.
Wow, brings that up. How long ago was that?
Well, so that, I mean, college was, it was like 5 years after we had graduated college.
Wow.
And, it was not a prominent thing that anyone would ever have noticed. So it must have come as a real surprise.
Boy, that's a possible friendship ender?
No, they're still going strong. But it was, okay. It was not the sort of argument you were taking seriously.
No, I mean, I confess to when I was younger, I think high school, I used to carry around books that were way above my station so that teachers would notice, you know, maybe bump my grade up a half a grade or something, because he's a go-getter.
Right.
But I remember one of them was, do you know the author Saul Bellow?
Yeah, sure. He's been mentioned on Seinfeld.
Very much above my high school station, and a thick, thick tome, and I carried that around for a little bit. Never read a page of it.
Wow.
Anyway, that was probably a good book, and we're here to talk about bad books.
Yes, right. Yeah. That's how the pros do it.
That is a transition. Can you name off the top of your head all of our books, or do you have to kind of fumble around like I do?
I think I could do them. Well, like, yeah. So, Ready Player One, we read Armada. The Eye of Argon.
Oh, was that before Shatlart?
I believe it was.
Okay, Eye of Argon, then Shatlart.
Then Shatlart, and then was it? Did we do The Mister?
The Mister, it was after Shat? No, there was something. There had to be something in between.
64 Squares.
There you go.
64 Squares, The Mister, Lair of the White Worm? Oh, Trucking Through Time.
Trucking.
Lair of the White Worm.
Lair.
Awful. Oh, wait, Bob Honey was in there somewhere.
Oh, see, that we're losing the plot already.
I think that was before The Mister. And then
The Mister, soon to be a major motion picture.
Yeah, please. Absolutely. And then the awful one, Shadow Moon, and then Moon People. That might have been 11.
Shadow Moon. Wow. It took me half a second to think of what you were talking about. That's the memory. That's my survival technique kicking in there.
Yes, exactly. I don't think anything else is missing from that list. I started uploading the episodes to YouTube. Just for people to have another way to listen to them. So it's fun to you render them out and then you upload them and then they all get copyright strikes because of the fan fiction theme song.
And really?
Then, yeah. Well, it just, you know, and then it now has an option that you can trim in YouTube. You can just like trim out the fan fiction theme song.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. There's no provision to use that. There was one where you, I think it was from Armada, you made me like cheer along to Here I Am Rock You Like a Hurricane because I think the people in the book were doing that. I didn't remember it at all, but there was, you know, 5 seconds of Here I Am Rock You Like a Hurricane that's in there. So they're strict.
Wow. Okay. So is anyone stumbling across this and going, what in the name of God?
There was a couple people whose strategies appear to be just on every uploaded video to YouTube comment like, great content. You should be getting more views. And so they were doing that on every video. You know, it was a spam technique as if someone's going to be like, I should go to this guy's channel. But I think they got weeded out pretty quickly.
Okay.
But yeah,
well,
so
that's good to
check
good
that
to know
out.
You
and
could, yeah,
once we get 10 times more subscribers, we can monetize the hell out of it. So
that would be interesting. Like, I have zero memory of singing "Here I Am" like a hurricane. Another survival technique, because yes. You know, there are like I'll listen to a little snippet of riff tracks or something and go, I don't know what the movie is. Mm-hmm. That whoever's voice that is, which is clearly mine. Right.
Yeah.
That could be synthesized in a lab, and I would believe you.
I'm saying
totally.
Elaborate theories about the global banking supply chain, and I don't recall ever having read that in the script. It's
publishing manifestos in local papers. I don't recall ever doing that, and yet, I called for the gold standard many times in my local paper. No, all right. So,
we've got a lot of yakking to do. It's been a long weekend, and we figured that people wanted to laugh. We wanted to keep this going, and so we're gonna have some. We have some announcements, and then we have a list of new books that we are considering that we want your help in picking one on.
Yeah, we've done. It's been usually we've gone Vatican style into a room, and then we send up the smoke signals later. But we're opening up the process.
Yeah, well, to you loyal Patreon supporters.
Well, yes,
yeah.
Yes.
There's
the other
jackals are they're bad news. We don't want their input unless they give us, you know, what was probably the equivalent of 72 cents. They can right. per month. They can influence the entire direction of the podcast.
Right. All right, so Patreon people, help us out.
Yeah.
We're going to do that.
Yeah.
But yeah,
first of all,
the announcements.
Right? Yeah, I realized we finished Shadow Moon. We got to give away the our copies of the books, and you can't actually run a contest on Patreon. So if you're listening to this, if you want to win my copy of Shadow Moon, you can email 372pages@gmail.com with giveaway in the subject line. We already sent Mike's copy out to a loyal listener who has been donating her time to moderate things for us and support us on the Discord channel. So there's only one copy this time around. But if you have a problem with that, you can I don't know do something.
Call them
else.
Jackals again.
Yeah. You can take it up with the other jackals. and then we've been lurching very slowly towards the number 500 Patreon supporters. I can look this up now. It is like 487.
Lurching is a word that's often applied to our
fan base,
our podcast.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I figured we needed some way to maybe either entice people to get those final 13 up there or to reward the people who have supported us the whole way through. So I thought that once we hit 500, we could try an idea. This is something you've done before, but it would be sort of we've read a bunch of bad books. Let's see if we can collectively write a better book.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't thought it through entirely, but I thought whoever was a Patreon supporter that wanted to participate, we would do some sort of framework. Everyone would register, and then everyone would write a page of this book. It's like how you get that essay topic when you're applying to – I don't think anyone actually uses this, but the essay topic is like write page 213 of your autobiography. And right. You would get that write page 87 of whatever the book we have. Like maybe you would write the first page, we'd each write a page in the middle, and then I'd write the last page, and we'd let everyone else fill in the blanks to get to wherever they needed to be.
Right. Yep. It's a lot of fun. I did it with, well, let's see, I think Kevin Murphy, okay. Bill Corbett, Paul Sherston. We all wrote chapters of a book, a bad book. I think we did a couple of them.
Yeah. What were
it's
the...
It's a ton of fun.
Yeah. What were the ones you did? There was like a legal thriller?
We did a legal thriller called The Tort. And then we did Hush Hush Sweet Bet, I think, which was a Southern Gothic, you know, just dripping with moss and, you know, thick accents and grimy characters, but with a poetic heart.
Wow. So would you write a chapter and then pass that off and someone else would read it, or would you just like not know what came before
it? Yeah, we did it that way. Okay. So they had a little more information. So this might be a little more scattershot.
Yeah,
I don't think it's possible to write a chapter and then pass it on. That would take
it would be madness. But yeah, so if people think that sounds fun, we'll have to publicize that as a thing to entice people, since only Patreon people are hearing this, but I think it'd be fun. And then at the end, we'd have something to show the world, our collective madness, what we all came up with here. And it can't possibly be worse than Shadow Moon. So I'm eager to see that.
And I mean, I guess we can't restrict anyone, but it'd probably be ill-advised to try to imitate one of our former books' styles.
Right.
That's what I'd be worried about, is someone pulls a Dwight David on us in the middle.
Right. Yeah. I don't think we need to try to be funny, you know, or try to be bad.
Right.
But I think this, by virtue of writing a book where you don't know what came before or after, that's probably going to happen. So we'll think about this more. We'll think of some guidelines about how to start and end your section, and you know, maybe no one is interested, but I think it'll be fun if we want to give it a shot.
Well, given the vast amount of fanfic we have gotten, I think
people would
be interested.
Yeah, and given the vast amounts of free time some people are going to have in the next couple of months. we'll fill that time with the next book we pick too. So we've got a little short list, and we figured we'd put up a poll after this was done. But we'll give you a little rundown of what some of these titles are that we've been kicking around.
Give us the first one.
Okay. First one, so I've sort of classifying these books we've done and trying to figure out like where these fall into categories. So this is a mainstream bad book, just like Ready Player One was, The Mister, Armada. It's one you could actually buy in an airport. It's probably going to be made into a movie, but it seems like it has the potential to be up our alley. It's called Artemis by Andy Weir, who wrote The Martian, which was a Matt Damon movie. And it seemed like people might like it. It seemed like we would not like it. It's the top reviews made me just, they gave off Kleinian vibes. Do you have the reviews in front of you there?
I do.
Read the first couple there.
The author cannot write a convincing woman, at least not from the woman's own perspective. I've never been a woman, but I have been a teenage boy, and I'm pretty sure that adult straight women spend less time thinking about breasts than a teenage boy. The narrator is obsessed. Wow.
So that's a good sign.
Holy cow.
And then the next one stood out to me because you just wonder what's going on in this book. It says the libertarian nuttery runs deep in this sucker. Laws against flammable materials are zealously enforced, but pedophilia is perfectly legal. Selling drugs to minors is perfectly legal. So I'm not sure. I'm curious how that world has come to be in the course of this book. So,
For some reason, I heard about this book just from someone else about, like, man, I think maybe even the Martian is not particularly well reviewed.
Huh. Yeah.
So, and that, you know, it's one of those like, what's a book, a bad book? Well, Godfather is the prime example of like, it's just a piece of, you know, pop fluff. It's not very well written. The prose is not very good. Makes a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the kind of the rap on The Martian. So
I found The Martian to be entertaining enough. There was lines in it where the guy says, like, in order to solve this problem, I'm going to have to science the shit out of it. And so if the book was leaned more towards that, I think that's a pretty Kleinian turn of phrase.
For sure.
Amazeballs kind of writing. So, Will it be as bad as Shadow Moon? I doubt it. Will it be have material to for us to make funny? Hopefully. We'll see.
Yeah.
The next one on the list, this was a, I went into the Discord chat to tell people we were going to do this, and someone managed to just like beg for us to tackle this book. It's called List of the Lost by Morrissey from the Smiths.
This is the first that I've ever heard of him being being a published author.
Yeah, I'm not a fan, but I've never really given it a chance. But what is your Morrissey background?
I am not a fan. I believe my wife has a slight bit of fandom. But yeah, I remember years back I met a cousin who I hadn't seen in years, and he was raving about the Smiths. Mm-hmm. And I dismissed it as, is that that like screaming British sad guy? And yeah. He was very upset that I didn't have more respect for, I called him a screaming British sad guy. That made him very sad. And that's my only take on Morrissey.
Yeah. A friend came back from a study abroad semester, and this is the guy who had turned me on to Bob Dylan, Tom Waits. And he's like, you got to check out the Smiths. And it just struck me, I don't know, the production was hard to get by, the guy's voice was hard to get around, and I didn't give it much of a chance. But
I did an impression of him on years and years ago on Mystery Science Theater.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, an accurate impression or just a what you imagined it was?
It was what I imagined.
Well, that's a plus.
It's like yeah, it's like the Dana Carvey, impression where it's not really.
Chevy Chase, Gerald Ford.
Yes. He does not sound like President Bush, but it's funny that he does that. Wouldn't be prudent. He doesn't sound like that.
Right. Well, let's say that could be a vote in the plus column. The book is about a 1970s relay team, I believe a track and field relay team in Boston, who accidentally kill a demon, which then curses the team. Right away, not what I would have expected. And Wikipedia describes it as receiving overwhelmingly negative reviews. And the way I classified this one was that it was a mainstream potential Bob Honey. Because it does seem like people sort of lined up to dunk on it.
I think the first review that I pulled up for it, had steaming pile of PCs or something. Like, very, very strong.
It has, these were some of the choicest excerpts. The spineless mandarins at Penguin who brought this to print should be ashamed of themselves. It sullies the reputation of the publishing house that has been foolish or greedy enough to commit it to print. And then it won one of those, I think they have them every year, the Literary Review's Bad Sex Writing Award.
Wow.
And also, like Bob Honey, it is quite short. It's almost novella length, but it says, at only 118 pages, it still feels overlong. So, could be a plus column. But yeah, I've gotten, it exudes that pen kind of vibe where the author is just, he's been handed this because of who he is and not vetted because of talent or what he had to say.
What year was this written?
2015.
Oh, okay. So this is it. There's not a Bob Honey follow-up? List of the Lost,
I do not believe too. he was asked to write another one. It seems like if this had come out probably, last year, we would have been inundated with requests to do it. So it just was a few years early.
All right. So there they are so far. We've got List of the Lost.
Yeah.
And
Artemis.
What is it called?
Artemis, who was the love interest in Ready Player One. So there's that connection too. Who was just hideous because of that minor birthmark under her eye. So,
which was hidden by her hair mostly, but ugh. But he saw through it.
Oh man, I was thinking about that movie recently. Why was I? I don't know. It was one of those. You wake up in the middle of the night, and I'm like, "What if this character had been in Ready Player One?" It's not important, but what if the next book?
Little window into Connor. Yeah, woke up in the middle of the night.
The next one on the list was called, we've talked about this before, Antigua. It is a self-published fantasy novel written by a husband and wife duo. I have it listed as the self-published garbage category, where it reads more like the rantings of a Dwight David Thrash or Dale M. Courtney. And
So it's like, this is like if Dale and Sheryl
Yes.
Teamed up.
Yes. If they were, they sort of had a John and Yoko creative, you know, sustaining relationship like that, where they fed off each other.
Sitting down at the Red Lobster, scribbling away.
In between their lovemaking sessions, of course.
Of course, yes.
And it is mostly notable. It is the one that ends most sentences with exclamation marks.
More than one, right? Sometimes three, four.
Yes. So, you know, knowing not much else about it, it does seem like it has the potential of those other two. I bet it comes in the same book trim size as Dale M. Courtney or Dwight David Thrash. Mm-hmm. It says just, you know, with the one review, like everybody else has stressed, what's with the overabundance of exclamation points? Is the author deaf? Are we deaf? Why is everybody screaming? And they point out that the cover's title isn't even grammatically correct. So they whizzed it down their leg before they could even get the book open. And I think by that they mean the full title is Antigua, the Land of Fairies, Wizards, and Heroes. And they don't use the Oxford comma. So it's the Land of Fairies, Wizards, and Heroes.
Oh, I bet the Oxford comma discussion in the reviews got very heated very quickly.
Yes.
Die in a fire stuff after comment number three.
So that's that. You know, could it be more like if Dale M. Courtney wrote Shadow Moon? So you've got that to look forward to. What's the next one on the list here?
You're passing this over to me, are you?
Well, I think they're going to understand who put this one on the list. So,
okay. Well, this one, I don't know what the category would be. This would be, I think, a new category.
It'd be new,
for
yeah.
us. So that could be an exciting thing, bringing in something. This is a series of books. I believe this is for children. It's called Ranger in Time.
Yeah.
This is a dog. Who goes back in time to be part of major traumas throughout the world? Some of them being 9/11.
Sorry,
that's the one that your 9/11 dog is what Connor called this one. Yeah, so it's you know, it's a dog in disasters. Sort of. I think it's earnest, right? It is meant to teach children about things from the past they may not have heard about. Sort mm-hmm. of walk them through. The trauma.
Yeah, so I saw this one night. A guy named Lord Beef on Twitter saw this at his son's Scholastic book sale.
And how is Lady Beef, by the way?
And he tweeted it out. I immediately saw it and started diving down the rabbit hole, and I tweeted something in response to it and woke up the next day, and Lord Beef's tweet had gotten like 100,000 RTs. And my, like, you know, tweet that, you know, I pointed out that Ranger also went back in time to D-Day and Pearl Harbor and the Titanic, and that had like 10,000 retweets, and I had to mute it. So by far the most attention that anything I've ever done has gotten on the internet was posting screenshots of Ranger.
Is Lord
in
Beef
time.
Normally, does he have a huge following, or people were just very...
I don't think Lord Beef does, but I think he has some powerful friends, you know?
Oh, okay.
It's the same way, like, when sure. you or Bill would retweet something I did, and then it would, you know... So I think that the author got wind of this, and she sort of was like, look, people, this is not... You know, I told you this looks like something off of Something Awful, like the cover could have been.
Sure.
But she was like, look, this is for... 7-year-olds, and you know how old they were when this happened? They were -10. So it is ancient history to them, just like the Pearl Harbor Titanic books would be. So it's probably not going to be bad, but it could be interesting.
There might be humor to it, but it could be a huge misstep. So
yes.
There's a little bit.
Right. Yeah, I said, you know, we probably should read the room about how people feel about... you know, life-altering events. But we could always do the D-Day one or Pearl Harbor just to have some distance.
Yeah, because there is a lot of funny stuff going on there. So
I do recommend looking up the covers because it is just, you know, it's Ranger is stepping off one of the boats onto the beach of Omaha Beach on D-Day. He is on the Titanic, and if you were inclined to make light of such a thing, it seems very easy to wonder whether this dog is causing these events. He's traveling back in time, or
if you're a soulless beast like Connor, you might think this is funny. No, there's probably going to be some humor to be drawn from that, but we'll have to be careful about that.
Obviously, the next book is one of the most requested guys we've ever been asked to do. It's Dan Brown, and to me, his first book seemed like it had probably the most potential for humor. It's called Digital Fortress, and I think it was written, I think he wrote that, then he wrote Angels and Demons, and then The Da Vinci Code. And so...
So this is his... what was James Wan's first unpublished movie that we...
I think this is like his Replica.
Right, Replica. I couldn't remember the name of that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people bought it after The Da Vinci Code, but I think a lot of them were like, I never had anyone tell me I ought to read this one. And it seems to me, I think it has a hacking plot, and the NSA is involved, and it strikes me as being very potential for people talking about what the internet was like in the mid to late 90s.
So lots of pizza.net moments,
yes,
in this?
Yes.
Great. Okay.
The future of the past, or like Hackers with Angelina Jolie could also be like that. Here's one of the reviews that you took particular exception to. The later novels by Dan Brown are great, but you will be disappointed with this one.
So that's the bar. I mean, his famously terrible prose.
Yes,
there are collections of them, and you know they're major magazines going, here are the 20 hilarious quotes, bad quotes from Dan Brown books.
Absolutely. So I read The Da Vinci Code in 2003 when it came out, and I was not a particularly discerning judge of prose like that, and I was always like, people talk really strange in this book.
So this is before he even honed that technique.
Right. So yeah, great. I think that combined with the technology could be good. Here's the other review. It was published in 98 and is all about a supercomputer that has been sabotaged and is either about to blow up or release a lot of secret information. So that's an interesting option there.
Right.
It is like a science fiction in the near future. However, 20 years is a long time when it comes to computers, and much of the technology in the story seems implausible today. So potential to be very funny.
What was the movie with Michael Douglas, and it was like hacking too, but it was like virtual worlds?
I think that was Disclosure by Michael Crichton.
Disclosure.
Was
that
it?
That one.
Ooh,
yeah. That looked dated. That was about the same time as that book was written. So
yeah, which was about, I mean, it centered around sexual harassment. That was like the main, ripped from the headlines, you know, as that was sort of starting to get its major attention, I thought.
Right. But I think the ending was this virtual thing where he had to, put on the suit and like be a burglar and go into the computer and get the files out or something like that. So
why isn't that one of our stretch goals? So they saw Lawnmower Man and were like, they did it poorly. However, in the right hands.
Right. The next book, as you have titled it here, there's always Moon People Too.
There is, yeah. I don't know.
100 pages.
Yeah. A listener, David, went and read the next two and said he advised taking a break. But he did say there is a lot to work with. He says some things change. For example, there's fewer chapter breaks. He said there's the chapter titles, there was going to be some sexy scenes, and he confirmed that there was he wasn't sure if Dale Courtney was a grandpa, but he said there is dad no moment at some point in time.
Okay.
So there's always that. My advice would be to space them out, to use them as an amuse-bouche after we read something longer, and but they're always there, but we'll let the audience see what they think.
Well, since you bring it up, what about Thrash?
Yeah, there's always those too. I know that people have gone and read those. I think a lot of those are available free on Prime. So we'll put we'll put Dwight David Thrash 2 in there. Why not?
Right.
Again, I would advise restraint with that. But who are we to go against the will of the jackals?
That's right. They have teeth. The final book.
Yeah.
This is one, yeah, we had tossed this around a little bit. I think you sent it to me last week or something. This is a genre that I did not know existed. Of course it exists. It is sort of, this is called Geekerella, fangirl fairy tale. So this is like, nerd culture. I'll just read it. Part romance, part love letter to nerd culture, and all totally adorbs. Oh. Geekerella is a fairy tale for anyone who believes in the magic of fandom.
So directly, I mean, it's almost as if they sort of like had us in a focus group and, you know, pandered a little too much to our demographic.
Yeah, this...
as Hypable said, a website, it's the geekiest spin on Cinderella you'll ever read. And I've read a lot of geeky spins on Cinderella, so that is the gauntlet is thrown.
400 ratings, 4.5 stars.
Yeah, it does not appear to be regarded as a bad book, but true to the, you know, original mission statement of this, which is, you know, reading books that we do not expect that we're going to like, I can't see any possible way that we would like this book. But yeah, it's a...
Well, let me give you a little sample. I just pulled up the look inside this book on Amazon.
Okay.
Aside from my signed copy of Batman Year One, she's the best friend I've got. So that's just a little sample there. Yeah.
So if Ernest Cline did write a more female-focused book for, I think, young adults, so probably middle schoolers and high schoolers... I think that's the elevator pitch for this one. I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know. This one.
We could be getting ourselves into trouble with this. I don't know.
I went on Twitter. I wanted to make sure the author wasn't following anyone that I'm friends with. Right. She seems nice. But again, who are we to say no to the whims of people if they decide this is what we should be doing? So I think it's probably pretty short.
We did the Mister, you know?
Yeah, well, that's, you know, I do feel like we've had, you know, the bad books we've read have been, we've done 11 and one's been written by a woman. So it could be time to expand the horizons. But, I mean, the Mister was a delight, though, so.
It was, except for, again, the sex stuff was rugged.
I can't imagine, yeah, Geekerella's packed with that, although that would be an amazing surprise, but... You know,
if Dale M. Courtney were to write that genre of book, you bet your buttons that thing is going to be packed with that stuff.
Well, yeah, I think that's the I just read the Hypable quote. But so yeah, I think that's the short list. So I think that's what, 6, 7, 8 potential titles.
Mm-hmm. We got Artemis. We got Morrissey's List of the Lost. We got
Antigua,
self-published garbage. We have
Ranger
9/11
in Time,
dog
Escapes
book,
from
Ranger
the Twin Towers,
Dan Brown's Digital Fortress, Moon People 2, Dwight David Thrash, whatever 2, and Geekerella.
Yeah, let me look up what the Dwight David Thrash second book would be.
Okay, and there's always Bob Honey 2.
Oh, yeah.
There's never going to be Bob Honey 2.
Yeah, let's not put that on the...
No.
It's short, but what is the next David Thrash? Oh, I don't know if I can find it right away. It probably has...
And there's always Shadow Moon 2.
That is true. That would be...
There is not Shadow Moon 2.
It is...
How many of those? There's two more of those?
There's two more. Yeah, it's a trilogy.
Jeez.
I don't know if... This is it. It's... Certified public accountant, the forensic certified public accountant, and the Halloween identity theft ghost employee.
Dude, what does that even mean?
Here it is. His team, Titus Uno's team, tries to catch the identity theft ghost employee that made the Halloween planner company's revenue disappear.
Halloween, you say?
Yeah.
Dale M. Courtney connection?
Yeah, I guess that's maybe the reason everyone was so nervous around Halloween. They were worried that the Halloween planner company's revenue might be disappeared by...
Is the team the same? I mean, he doesn't like switch up and...
Oh.
Nobody like dies in an explosion and then he has to go.
I hope he has to go recruit them, you know? I hope he has to go off
everyone's
to the...
chopping wood.
Yeah, the cabin and one last job. I don't remember anyone of the team's name, shamefully, but
Was there a Tina on the team?
Yeah, I think she was. Yeah, she was. She was in charge of things. We're going to be read the riot act for not remembering that. But
yeah, well.
but yeah, so I think we'll put this up. We'll put up a poll and we'll let it run for a couple days and see what people have to say. But what is your preference here? Not to influence people, but.
Well, I'm not going to lie that I'm scared of doing 9/11 dog. I don't know. I'm a little scared of Morrissey too,
yeah.
Given the description. But I also, if the Martian guy of Artemis is long, I'm afraid of that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
All right. Well, yeah.
I mean, moon people too. Yeah, we should take a break. But again.
Yeah,
it's up to the jackals.
Well, we'll see where they scatter their carcass, where the bones and flesh may fall.
Do jackals have? Do they have scent glands? Are they rubbing their musk around anywhere? I don't know enough about jackals.
They've got to be. They're just leaving their trails of filth everywhere.
Spraying, right? what are you scared of?
I feel like if we did the Geekerella book, there'd be no way the author would know about it, and I would feel bad about that. But it seems like it could be entertaining. I feel like, you know, Dan Brown, I think it's going to be bad and dated. I worry that it might be, I don't know, I guess I'm not scared of it. I feel like having read his other books, there'd be a lot to work with. But it might not be as obviously, you know, riddled with unrecognizable behavior from how humans actually behave that some of these fun ones we've done recently have been.
Well, I mean, you would think that Shadow Moon would have not had stuff to... to dig into, given its the pedigree of its author,
right. But
there was a pile of garbage there. So.
But I think all of these are probably quicker reads. I don't think anyone's are there going to be as dense with that. I think Shadow Moon was, Digital Fortress was 100,000 words, but I think it's a quick 100K. What was the other one I told you was 80? Artemis, I think was around 80. I have to imagine that's fast. Morrissey, I think, was only. 30,000-40,000. So I think everyone else is going to fall in between those two.
Self-published garbage. How long?
No way of possibly knowing that until we buy it. But you know, we just did some self-published garbage. So I would encourage people to space that out like your Halloween candy. You got to,
it's on the list. It's up to them, Connor.
Mm-hmm. I guess suppose so. It's in their hands.
All right. There's your choices. We know that you have lots of time to do this, so give it your time and stay healthy, everyone.
Yeah, definitely. And thanks for saying that you enjoy listening to this when things are weird and scary and frustrating. So we're glad we can provide a bit of comfort. And next time, I'm going to pull the piano out and sing my Hallelujah inspired parody. Based on all this, thanking everybody, and that'll be the truly the funniest moment this podcast has ever had.
You think that will top you, me getting you to sing the chorus of Rock You Like a Hurricane?
It's close, and maybe I won't do that because they'll flag the melody on YouTube when we upload it.
So did I start singing Here I Am, and then made you sing
Rock You Like a Hurricane? Rock You Like a Hurricane, let's suss this out. We should find out why. I think that they, when they were going into battle in Armada, the end of the world.
Sure.
I think they played his Raid the Arcade.
He had his Raid the Arcade
mixtape, which was full of classic 80s tunes. And then I think they must have just, they think they described his friends as like whooping over them or something like that. So I think that was sort of our that was their St. Crispin's Day speech type of thing.
I'm sure that at the time then, if I was talking about Rock You Like a Hurricane, I would have mentioned that that was the song that I would sing when my kids were little in the car, and I would sing it at full volume and like screaming, "Dad, stop it!" Because I could hit the note. And then years later, they said, "You sound nothing like he doesn't sound that bad." Right. But I did a really high, piercing rock and roll voice, and it just was, "Dad,
Geddy Lee Salesman."
Exactly. Yeah. So there, Rock You Like a Hurricane, everyone.
Yep.
Thanks, and this is 372 pages. We'll never get back. So long.
Till next time.